Well, let's get something straight. I'm not a jack of all trades, I'm just a 10.
What?
So I'm not a jack of all trades, I'm just a 10.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. You know, this is wonderful, is it not? I love... What? What I... Yeah, I think so. That's okay. My whole family's sorry. I thank the Lord that I get to be here, you know, and I get to speak. You know, for some reason, you think about things, and Lord knows why you do. But last night I was thinking about the ministry here and coming here and speaking and everything. I never once asked to speak at any of these Bible conferences. Never once did I come and say, "Steve, can I speak?" I never have done that. I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here at the Bible conferences, and over the years, I've never asked anybody, "Could I speak?" You know, I'm just called, you know. And so this year when Steve said, "Do you mind speaking Sunday morning?" I said, "No." Then he asked again. He changed it all around. He said, "Do you mind speaking Saturday morning?" And I said, "No." And I'm doing this for you, Sam. Sam said that you need to label things. So I said to Steve, "Put me in, coach." So I called this... whatever I'm doing here, put me in, coach. And what happened to me is I started witnessing to people about the Lord. And the Lord called me to preach. Within myself, He called me to preach. And so all these great men that you see have stood up here and spake. There are my elders that taught me just about everything I know. I was thrown in with them. And it's just like, I'll give you a good example. It's just like a college football player getting thrown in the NFL. I got thrown in with all these preachers. And when I did, I broke out in hives all over my body. I mean, welts all over my body. And I told Mary Jo, I said, "What am I going to do?" I broke out from head to toe. I mean, bad. And so I quit all my sugar. I quit all the bread. I quit everything that I knew that was bad for me. And when I got up, I didn't break out. And folks, that's preaching is about preaching what you see in the Word of God and preaching honestly about what's there and going along with it. Sweet fellowship is loving this book. I mean, I'm so amazed. I'm just amazed that every time I open a book, how it lights up. I just love that. And I take certain things from certain men when they say them, and I apply them, and I have over years. And man, I'm telling you, I love for somebody to come up and show me whether I'm wrong. I loathe that. I want that. I there's nothing better you could do for me than to pray for me. Pray for me. But if you see something I'm doing wrong in the Bible, please, please come tell me. Jerry Sanders and Gatlinburg came up to me and said, "Jen, I hope this won't make you mad." He said, "But you're saying something wrong." And I said, "What is it, Jerry?" He said, "The Bible says that," he said, to compare spiritual things was spiritual. He said, "Jan, you're saying comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. There's no things on that. It's just spiritual things with spiritual. That may be very little to you, but it meant the world to me. Because I love this book. I love what it says. And I'm glad that I didn't have a part of it. and saying anything about it, because it would be really, really screwed up. It would be like me. I'm really, really screwed up. And I'm glad I got something that's not really, really screwed up. You know why? If I didn't have something perfect in front of me right now, I'm talking about absolute perfection right now, I would have zero faith. You couldn't prove to me that there was a God in this world. The only thing I have on this earth that I can cling to at all is this book. And this perfection that's there. And every time I pick it up, I see that. And I don't want to add one tittle, one nothing to the Word of God. I don't want that in my life. That's the only thing that I've always told my wife. I do some things wrong in the flesh. I bet y'all don't believe that. But I see something I'm doing wrong in the Bible, I stop right then. For instance, I said to this guy one time that say this is a tribulation time period. There's 3.5 years of good times. Then there's the Antichrist that gets put on the cross. And then there's 3.5 years of wrath. Now, I said one time that here, if you take this time period that's there, I said one time that within 220 days over here, they will build a temple. And they were going to that temple and worship. I can show you that in the Bible. That's where they're going to go back to worshiping like they did underneath the Mosaic law. And I can show you tons of scriptures of that. But where it says that there was 220 days, I thought that one time when I was studying the book of Daniel. And I knew it was there. But I said that one time, this guy said, Jim, where is that in the Bible? I said, why? It's Daniel chapter 12. I went to Daniel chapter 12. It wasn't there. It wasn't there. So you know what I did? I quit teaching that. I didn't teach that no more. No more did I teach that. And then just recently, a preacher, I was in his church, and he said, you know, EC said something about there's going to be 200 days there when they build a temple. He said, I don't know where he said that at. And I thought, what I was teaching might have had some substance there. So I went back and looked. Daniel chapter 8, verse 13, 14. But you know, if it's not there and I don't know where it's at, I will not teach that. Folks, and if I see something wrong that I'm teaching, I'm going to stop immediately. There ain't going to be there's no bargain in there. There's no room for that at all. Now look with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. I don't have any notes because I go over, I skip half of them and feel bad that I didn't get my notes out. That's the way it goes. I mean, you think you just pick out a few notes and you're just going to have a few, you know, and you don't have that many, and you always have too many. So you get to saying, I didn't get to put all that in. Did I make it plain? Well, we'll just use whatever time we got. What did I tell you to turn to? I told you Colossians. You just didn't hear me. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. By the way, while y'all turn, I'm going to kind of lay out the way I believe. And I'm, you know, you can anytime you want to after here. Listen, I love to open my Bible. There's nothing better I would like to do than open my Bible. Mary Jo has 100 times come in and set my supper beside me and it just got cold. And she heated again and it just got cold because I've been studying my Bible. I like it. I love opening it with anybody at any time on any subject. And so after this, if you've got questions about this, let's sit down. Let's open our Bible up. I got the time. I'm going to say, this is Jesus Christ's death here. And this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get this over on the right. Can y'all see that? I'm wanting to make a chart right now, and I'm after making a chart, and I can't get nobody to design it. And I just can't find nobody to design it, no matter how much money it is. I try to offer them, and they won't do it. And so what I got to do is lay it out and design it myself and then take it up there and then reprint it. So I'm in the process of doing that. But of it. That's Jesus Christ's death. Now, if I look back in Daniel, and when I look in Daniel, I'll find that he prophesied, and he said this. He said, there are 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Now, how many weeks is determined upon his people? 70?
Are they any more determined upon these people? If it is, Daniel lied, didn't he? There are no lies in this book. Folks, there are none. If he says it, that's the way it is. So there are 70 weeks determined upon his people. And if I look right here, this is the 69th week of Daniel. The 70th week over here is the tribulation time period over here. Now, are there any more time determined upon his people? If there's not, nobody raise your hand. Okay. You all agree with me. So there's not no more time determined upon his people. None. Then what's this in here? What's this time period in here between the cross and the time that's determined upon his people? Folks, every bit of that's a mystery. Now when you say the mystery, then that changes everything. Does it not? Like the gospel? It's the gospel. There are people trying to tell you that's the gospel of the grace of God. No, there's not. There's the gospel. And that's all it is, folks. There are not more than one gospel. It is the gospel. And Paul talks about the time period that when he trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he has been, and he says this in Corinthians, that it's a dispensation of the gospel. You see that? It's the dispensation of the gospel. The dispensation of the gospel goes to here, until we go out. That is the gospel of Christ. But there's one gospel. But there's different dispensations. Folks, after Acts chapter 28, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 over there, it's the dispensation of the grace of God. And then it talks about the gospel. Folks, it's the gospel. It's not the gospel of the dispensation of the grace of God. It's the gospel. It's in the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's the same gospel that Paul preached from Acts chapter 9 over here until he died. It's the gospel of Christ. We're going to go over that in just a second. But in Colossians, look in Colossians chapter, what did I tell you to turn to in Colossians? 3. Look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. You know who that's written to? It's written to saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. Folks, he ain't writing to lost people. Everybody that agrees with me, keep hands down. We're all in agreement again. Look at that. Folks, he's writing to saved people. He ain't writing to lost people in here. I mean, most people don't get this, see? They don't get what's going on in the book of Colossians. And they apply it differently. God put his word in order. And he put it in exact order. And he put it in there for you to see how exact it is. It's amazing to me. I'm teaching the book of Revelation right now, and I was asked to do it. And every time, like I told you, there are no favorite books in here for me. God, I love Genesis. I love Deuteronomy. You know, you can ask me to teach you those books, and I just love them. God, I just love every one of them. And he's got everything in perfect order. And he don't need you to set it in order. He needs you to pay attention in the order that it's in. Folks, the book of Colossians was never meant to show salvation. Brother, the book of Colossians is about our walk. He's talking to saints. He's talking to faithful saints. And he's not talking to them about salvation. He's talking about your walk. And how you're to walk. That should interest all of us that are saved. It's amazing to me to see that when I walk every day and I walk up to an individual over there, God is going to give me, by the Spirit of God in me, what I should say. Folks, he put that person in front of me, and the reason he put him in front of me is because he knew I'd say the right thing. And if anybody else would put it in front of them, they would say the wrong thing. You have the indwelling Spirit within you. Folks, Jesus Christ over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said, He said this. He said, tear down this temple and I'll build it back in 3 days. You know why? Because the Spirit of God was in Him. He was the temple of the Spirit. The Bible says, ye are the temple of God. We're the only people in time in the Bible that has the indwelling Spirit. Do you realize that each one of you that are saved have the indwelling Spirit within you? And God can use you. The Bible says He can thoroughly use you with all Scripture. Not just any of it, all Scripture. Somebody come up to me and say, well, how about Revelation such and such? Well, I got the Spirit of God in me. If I studied that, He's going to guide me through the Scripture that's in my head. Why is it so important that you read your Bible all the way through? Well, you have the Word of God in your head. It's not your ability. I have people all the time tell me all the time, well, I wished I had your ability. And I say, why? You get it. You just don't realize it and don't use it. You are the temple of God. You have the indwelling Spirit. And I can take the Word of God right here and show you as long as you cling to that right there, as long as you cling to it. Yeah, I mean, it works, folks. I've had people come to me and say stuff to me. I just kind of smile because I have the indwelling Spirit. And I can show them the truth in the Word of God. There's nothing greater, is it? There's nothing greater knowing the Lord is guiding my path. And all thine ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy path. Ain't that amazing that we can do that? I mean, He just put people in front of you all the time. And you don't even have to worry about it. I don't go witnessing, I witness as I go. He's putting people in front of me. He's putting people in front of you. He's no respecter of persons. It didn't matter your ability. You see, people always using that and using it like, I just don't know as much. Well, you know what you know, and God knows you know it. And God will use what you know. But if you don't use what you know, God can't make you do it. So you sit there with all the ability to do it. Now, that's what Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians is about. That you have all the ability that's there. Now, it's up to you to use it. You can't stand in front of Him and say, I just didn't know. That's not true. You have all the ability, and that's what He's talking about in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Now, if you'll go by that, just simply that, say, I'm going to study Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and it's for saved people, and it's for my walk, and it's to show me my ability that I have, these books will light up. Because that's what they were wrote for. And if you study them in that light, you'll see amazing things. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, saints, is it not, and the faithful? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinances, afflictions, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, now watch, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, the wrath of God is going to come on the children of who? Disobedience. God, my mind wants to wonder. Verse 7. In which ye also walked sometimes, and ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Whoa, wait a minute. You put him off with his deeds? That's your wall, folks. You put him off. You put him off. He said, well, old man did. Paul's telling you right here to put him off. Yeah, what you put off. You put him off. Look what he says in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Well, you put off the old man in his deeds. And you put on the new man that's been renewed in what? In knowledge. He's telling you to, you put him off. You can lag that old man along if you want to. That's what people do. Oh, I just don't have your ability. If I just had what you had, then I would do this and I would do that. And the reason I don't is because of this and because of that. Folks, you don't have that excuse. If you know what the gospel is, you can speak it. If you know how you got saved, you can tell somebody else how you got saved. Folks, you know, put off that old man and put on the new one. And not run around making all those excuses. You know why? Because you have none. You're just like me. You don't have that excuse. But we like to think it's our ability. Man is always trying to do something to glorify himself. And he's always trying to glorify somebody else. Well, they think the preacher is so smart. No, he's just one that knows his disabilities. He knows that all of us in here that preach the Word of God knows our disability. What is our disability? It's our flesh. Now, I sat down with a new preacher one time. He just started preaching. And I went up to him and I sat down beside him. I seen him sitting by himself. He had his plate. I had my plate. I went out and sat down beside him. And I said, what's your worst enemy? He said, the devil. And I said, no, it's not. It's your flesh. It's going to be your flesh till you die. That's the enemy that we have. And we're the, you know, look what he says. Look, now watch. Watch what he says in Colossians chapter 1. Now watch in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, which all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made known, or having made peace through his, the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth, or things in earth, or things in heaven. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemy. Now notice, in your mind, not in your flesh. He took care of that, didn't he? Amen. You have no fleshly problem. Where are you going to be enemy at? In your mind. He says in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemy in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled in the flesh of his in the flesh of his body through death. Now watch, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see that? How about the next verse? How about the next verse? That's the one. If you continue. Folks, is our salvation based upon if we continue? How about that? It says right there, if you continue. How about that? It's not talking about your salvation. It's talking about your walk. You want to be holy and without blame? You can in your walk. That's what he's talking about. Now watch, what he's saying in Corinthians is that you have everything necessary. You have everything you need, whoever you are, if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be holy and without blame in your walk. That's all there. And it's up to you to be holy and without blame in your walk. And that's what he's saying in the verse. If you continue, watch what he says. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in that, if you continue, and you know what this is about? This is about using what you have. It's about you knowing when you go up to somebody and you think, I need a witness to him. You got everything you need. You can be holy and without blame in your walk. If you be grounded, rooted in what you've heard about the Apostle Paul and what Jesus Christ did for us. He did it for all. He didn't just do it for the preachers. He didn't just give them the knowledge, and they have so much knowledge and you don't want to have that, that you're inadequate when you go out to speak to somebody. You're just inadequate. No, that ain't true. You're fully armed. You have everything necessary for you to be without blame when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Everything. Look what he said. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let me see if I can find the verse. Look at verse 10. He says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not yours. Strengthened by His glorious power. To know that I am fully capable of doing the work of the Lord, and He gave me all that I need to do that. Now, will I use that? Will I walk every day and walk full of faith, knowing that the Lord's going to use me, and He's going to use me just like I am, and just the knowledge that He has given me? And the Bible says in the book of Philippians over there, if you lack anything else, He will reveal it to you. Folks, the reason the Lord reveals things to you at the time is for you to use them. I usually, every Sunday, I teach and preach on the things that happened to me that week. You know why? The verses that came to me on that with that week, and the things that He's revealed to me that week, and the things that are going on this week is what's needed. Folks, whatever's happening in your life right now, and whatever verses you see and right now, and whatever verses you know, it's going on in your life, and it's happening because He needs you to use that when you see it. And He needs you to use it when it's going on. He don't need me to use you. Do your work. Folks, we are all as it is. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, is in all. And it is all. When you're saved, it's all. It's all you need. And He's in all that are saved. Folks, it's there. All you got to do is walk and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just walk. And, you know, in all thine ways acknowledge Him, and do what? Direct thy paths. Folks, that's not, don't get much easier than that, does it? I mean, all you got to do is just speak up. Open your mouth. And a lot of times we don't do it. I went too long ago, I was buying some buckets for my tomatoes from this guy. He had them really, really cheap. So I went to him and I thought, well, I witnessed this guy. But he had gorilla brows. I run together and he's just real funny looking, you know. I looked at him and he's just, you know, something about it is, you know, and then I got the book and kind of left and everything. I was riding off. Thought I didn't witness to him. I felt really bad about it. Thought maybe I need to turn around. But I just didn't. But I felt bad about it. Because I didn't witness to gorilla brows. You know, folks, that's the way it is, ain't it? That's your conscience. You know, I'm within blame right there. I should have done that. I had everything necessary, everything normal, you know, for me to do it with. I just didn't do it. Now, one more passage. Look at this. I'll just quit. Let somebody get up here and knows how to preach. Look in Romans. Romans chapter 2. I kind of know where this is. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, look at... I'm going to say a couple of things here. Romans chapter 2, verse 20. Look at verse 20. Now, these Romans over here, they stand in the law. That's what it says in the book of Romans. Their stand is in the law. Look in verse 20. An instructor of the foolishness, a teacher of babes, which has the, now watch, form of knowledge. You see that? They have a form of knowledge, do they not? and the truth and the law. Just a form of it. Go back to Colossians. I told you to hold it there, didn't I? Colossians chapter 3. We read there and started out there. Colossians chapter 3. I read the things. I read the last verse where I stopped. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? The ones in Romans had a form of knowledge. These ones over here are renewed in knowledge. You see that? One is lost. One is saved. The book of Colossians is talking to saved people about a walk. The ones of Romans over there have a form of knowledge. We've been renewed in our walk. It's all about our walk. Ephesians, we're close by there. Look in Ephesians over here. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now wait a minute. Go back to verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's not talking to lost. You see that? Everybody in here sees that? Don't raise your hand. I'm glad we all agree. Look in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be. Now you watch this now. And don't you mess this. Now watch what He says. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be. You see that? It don't say that you are. Am I wrong? It says you should be. It don't say you are, folks. Pay attention to what God is saying. Look what He says in verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Listen, you should be. You know why? Because you got all spiritual blessings. Folks, you are lacking nothing. I don't care who you are, if you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have all spiritual blessings. God is doing all He can for you. He's putting people in front of you. He's doing all He can for you just to open your mouth and tell another person. And you should be holding with blame without blame, because you don't have an excuse not being. Neither do I. Folks, you're going to be tried. Your worst is going to be tried. What you do with what you got is what's going to be tried. He ain't going to try you because you didn't know. The Bible says it's better that you didn't know than to know and not do. Folks, and He talked about it over there in Colossians, how the wrath of God is falling upon those people. Look. Let me show you what it's for. And I'll start right here, Steve. It's about time for me to stop, ain't it? It's about time for me to stop, ain't it? 4 more minutes. Oh, God, I got a lifetime. I'm going to get my notes out. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Nothing to be ashamed of, is it? And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. You have to put that old man away. He's dead right now, spiritually. Physically, the old man just bothers us every day, don't it? Paul talks about him in Romans chapter 7. My enemy. He's my enemy. Nobody, I don't care what people say about me anyway. Most of it's right. But I just don't repeat it. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We stop right there. It's the end of the verse, ain't it? It's not the end of the verse, is it? You ever looked at the last part of it? You know what he says there? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness? People say the wrath of God is not upon people today. The law of wrath is not. For God's wrath is on all them who hold the truth in unrighteousness, according to the gospel of Christ. Folks, if you're at the end of my voice, and I preach to you that Christ died for all your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again for your justification. And I preach that that's all you have to do to be saved is trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know that. And you see that that's true. There are no law today, and there's no wrath from the law today. But there's wrath from God if you don't trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. That verse right there tells you right there that God's wrath is upon you if you know that truth and you hold that truth and you reject that truth. Then God Almighty's wrath is upon you. And I don't care what's law or no law. God's wrath is upon you. Why? It's because of the gospel, folks. And if you hadn't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you heard this, and you heard all these men get up here and preach His righteousness, what He done, how He died for you, and you don't trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, His wrath is upon you right now. And if you die somewhere out here, a car sidewinds you, or something blinds you, or hits you in the side, and you die, and you've heard this, and you hadn't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, next thing you're going to do is face God. And what was that guy that preached? Man in the hands of an angry God? I hate to be you. And all you have to do is trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the gospel. I've talked to this one person. This person said, I was scared of nothing when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, I didn't have no feelings. I'm thinking, God, what did it do to me? It tore my heart out. Folks, I knew what I was. I knew the day I got saved. And I knew what I was. And I knew God's wrath is on me. You know why? Because I heard the gospel. And I knew God's wrath is on me because I knew the truth. Folks, if you hear these men preach the gospel of Christ and you don't trust Christ or don't have a time in your life that you trusted Christ, let me tell you right now, the wrath of God is on you. It's not because who you do bad or don't do bad. It's because you reject the gospel. Amen?